All right, thank you. Open your Bibles. We're going to start off in just a verse or two in Daniel chapter 4. And we're going to move to one or two verses in the little book of Ezra, about 10 chapters. You probably can't find Ezra, but if you'll find Nehemiah and go to your left, you'll be all right. And you'll find it there. We want to just deal with a subject. I'm going to start a subject. I hope I can finish it. Depends on how fast you listen this morning, or whether or not I have to make a couple of extra lessons out of this for Sunday school. I'm going to be answering the question, could the election of this last president be ordained of God? Now, that ought to prick your interest just a little bit. We're going to lay a little bit of a foundation for it, biblically. And I'm asking the question. I'm not claiming to know the answer, but I'll talk to you about some things. Daniel chapter 4. Now, you remember the study in the book of Daniel. You remember about Nebuchadnezzar. Remember about the dream that he had. Daniel interpreted the dream, and then when in chapter 4 you have Nebuchadnezzar recapping and telling the whole story of how it happened again. Really, it's his personal testimony. You remember how God brought judgment on him because of his pride. Set him out in the cow pasture to eat grass like a cow and let his hair grow like feathers and his fingernails and so forth. And God let him stay out there till he learned a lesson. And in chapter 4 of Daniel, you have Nebuchadnezzar recapping and telling how God dealt with him. He dealt with him because of his pride. And God taught him some things. And a couple of places. Let me get you to look in chapter 4 at verse 17. Daniel had told him this, and this is what happened. You remember how the tree was cut down, and yet God left it a root for him to return? In verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it, the kingdoms of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will. And this next line is really unusual. And setteth up over it the best of men. Is that what the King James says? That's what it says. It says the basis of men, don't it? That's pretty much a shock. Okay, let's move in the same chapter a little bit further. Pick it up in verse 32. Says, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee until thou know that thou, let me get it right, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, what did Nebuchadnezzar have to learn? That God was in charge. That he took down rulers and he put up rulers. And when we look, we'd say, Lord, what are you doing? But God says he's in charge of that. And he's got a purpose behind that. Now, I want to get you to see another ruler. Go back to the book of Ezra. If you find Nehemiah, go to your left on chapter 1, verse 3 or 4 verses in the book of Ezra. You remember the story of Ezra? He was the priest that God sent back. Gave him favor with the kings to build the temple of God, rebuild Solomon's temple. Nehemiah came back and rebuilt the walls. That's the next book over. But Ezra, now you got to remember the Jews were in captivity. Even they were taken into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. The book of Daniel is giving us a lot of detail on that. But God then began to give them favor. They had all kind of opposition, even among other Jews. They had schemes and plots worked against them. In the book of Ezra, you find a lot of letters exchanged back and forth. Some of them falsely writing to the king, accusing Ezra and his followers. And some of it, the conspiracy worked some, and yet God overrode it with these kings. Now, one of these kings is named Cyrus. Pick it up in verse 1 of Ezra now. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. You know where Persia, what Persia is, Iran today. You know that. All right. Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Now, isn't it interesting? God said, I'm going to speak to a king. I'm going to use a king to fulfill the prophecy that was given by my prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah did prophesy that Nebuchadnezzar was coming, that they would be taken captive into Babylon. And so here by the this first verse in Ezra, we find out God said, I'm going to bring some things around to make the word, my word, the word of my prophet Jeremiah fulfilled. So he says, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all the people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, and beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. He goes on down, verse 7, and Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels now that was taken by Nebuchadnezzar. And we find out that God moved the heart of the king to supply the wealth needed, even bringing the things that were stolen out of the temple back. God used Cyrus. Now, use your Bible again. Don't get offended that you come to a church that makes you use your Bible. Amen. Go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. I'm laying some foundation. If you'll bear with me, we'll tie it together in a minute. Isaiah chapter 45. You get Jeremiah, go back to your left. Isaiah chapter 45. Actually, it starts at the last verse of chapter 44, my subject does, where it says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now, this is detailed prediction of what Cyrus will do. Look at it in verse 1, chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings and open before him two leaded gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Let me just interrupt myself here a little bit. These are the gates that led through the river Euphrates into the city of Babylon. And to this day, historians say somehow they were mysteriously opened. But you need to remember, God prophesied here over 200 years before they were opened that they would be opened. Over 200 years earlier. Read on down with me. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates, there we go again, the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hideth riches and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, now get this part, called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake. And why is God doing this? For Jacob, Israel, my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee, now get this part, you ought to underline this, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. No, this was over 200 years before Cyrus was born. Wouldn't it been interesting when you got to be about 4 years old, if your mother went and got the Bible and showed you your name in it and how you was predicted 200 years earlier by God? That's exactly what happened with King Cyrus. And the interesting thing is God told what he would do for Israel or Jacob's sake. that he'd do these. He's the one that came in, the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus and Darius the Mede. They came in and took the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar, as was predicted over 200 years before. Babylon was locked up. Belshazzar was having a party. He was throwing all the gusto he could for his friends. And all of a sudden, the fingers of a man's hand began to write on the wall and told him he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. And this night, his kingdom would be taken away from him. That's what Daniel read off the wall to him. And while it was happening, the gates were being opened that allowed Cyrus and his army to come in, just like was being predicted, and take over. That very night, the Bible says, Belshazzar lost his kingdom. And what God wrote had to happen. It did happen just like he wrote it. Now I'm going to come back to what I introduced to you as a subject. Could God be in the election of a president in America for the end days, for the end times? Could God be in it? Is there any reason to exist that, to believe that could exist? I'll say this. We see all the anti-God hate today. I've never seen it like it is, and nobody has. And don't kid yourself, it is against God. It's not that the man is all that godly a man. He claims he's saved. I hope he is. But the issues he stand for, like stopping the baby killing, all the bad stuff we know going on, yes, that's what's got the crowds in the street marching and carrying on. It's an anti-God demonstration is what it is. The need today, as we look around, we need God to give us some help. We need a leader, whoever he is, that would take God's side. Let me talk to you just a second about the need. We have sunk to a low that average decent Americans never thought could have happened. The perversion we see. Did you see the little article in the Ledger yesterday where they're coming out now with a transsexual doll? And the doll is going to sell for almost $100, and it's being gobbled up. Transsexual doll. Did you see where the Boy Scouts now are forced to let little girls join that claim they're boys? Now, I was a Boy Scout in my early days. I enjoyed it. I can imagine a little girl and a little boy in the same tent. All the foolishness that we talk. They already had to allow homosexual scoutmasters. I'm talking about perversion. I mean of no common sense and decency. Let me also say, you might have overlooked this, but you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember how that Lot was down there where he shouldn't have been. I think here on Sunday morning, one time in Sunday school, I taught you a little bit, I referenced a little bit of information out of the book of Jasher, which is not a biblical book, but it's one mentioned in the Bible. And it's very old, probably as old as most Bible books. And some of it's probably right. Some of it's probably been got errors in it. But in the book of Joshua, they tell the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they tell how that when strangers came to town, there was in the center of town like an initiation whether or not to accept them. And all strangers that didn't submit to that were killed or arrested or whatever. Well, when the angels come in, they didn't come in and submit to that. They went to knocked on Lot's door, and the townspeople came after them. And they came to know him in the sexual way of homosexuality. And here's what happened. They were mad because these two young men, and that's what angels look like generally in the Bible, these two young men came, by the way, without wings, but they were angels, and they came into Lot's door, and Lot even offered his daughters, as low down as that could be, to save the men. But notice what the homosexuals did when their lifestyle was rejected. When these angels didn't come to the center of town and present themselves and accept the sodomy of the town, the town folk became violent. Did you know that one of the signs of the days of Noah that we're living in is violence? Do you know what you're seeing in the news is violence? And what you're seeing is the perverts being offended and turning to violence. That's the end time sign, folks. Exactly like we're seeing it right now in the news. It's not just good enough to ignore them. They hate that. They want to be accepted. They want to be promoted. They want to have gay pride marches. Gay pride, a nation that's proud of perversions and danger of God, because God calls it abomination. My. So we need some help. We need some help. False religion is being more than equal now in America. It's being promoted above the truth. And the truth is being evil spoken against, as the Bible says. We see in the heathen mixing that do not believe in the foundation of America, the Christian foundation. They do not believe in the Christian God, the Lord God Jehovah. And when you read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah that I referenced here with Cyrus, you find the heathen came with an anti-spirit against what Ezra and Nehemiah were supposed to be doing. Either one of the old folks has got a baby's voice, or I heard a baby. And there's a nursery over here, folks. Please use it. Now, God foretold the leadership here under Cyrus and what he'd do 200 plus years before he was born. It is kind of interesting. If you read a little bit, not only in world history, but even in American history, if you read that God seems to have taken a hand from time to time, maybe for good, maybe for bad sometime, even among the presidents of our history in America. He did in the Bible days. He raised up Josiah to give him a time of reprieve and a space to repent among some evil kings of Israel. He raised up Cyrus here that we mentioned and told what he would do for Israel. Some of our presidents, by the way, the security teams that protect the presidents, they have been made aware for many years to watch especially for presidents that were elected on even years. That, and here's the story behind it, whether you believe it or not, but when America in the early years was making treaties and breaking them with the American Indians, and all that, a Indian chief was supposed to be Christian and somewhat of a prophet, prophesied against the coming presidents of America. And he said any president born in an even year would be killed. Now, the most famous one we think of that is Kennedy. He was elected in 1960. Before that was Lincoln. He was in 1860, and there's a lot of comparisons between the two. The most immediate president that the Indian had in mind was William Henry Harrison. He was elected in 1840. He only lived 31 days. He died in office. Some of the others died in office, but it has been strange that it seems that prophecy of the Indian keeps coming about, that every one of them that won an election in an even year, like Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, and he came in 1860. Now, the one that broke the pattern was Ronald Reagan, 1980. Yet he had an assassination attempt, and the bullet stopped only 1 inch from his heart. And among inner circles, they believe Reagan was spared because he had a number of people in his cabinet and on his staff that was praying for him and even thinking about the even year curse of so many that had been. So that's just information. Can't prove it one way or the other. But when we take a look at Trump, we all know it was a really long shot that he got elected. It was a phenomena. It was an impossible win. excuse my throat here this morning. It's not catching, it's just that old allergy thing. But it was a long shot, impossible win. For instance, I was watching, any of you ever watch those home videos where they do the stupid things, and run into light poles and fall off of roofs and, oh yeah, well it's kind of hilarious. I wonder if people could really be that stupid. I know a lot of it's set up on purpose, but my wife likes to watch it, and I come in sometime and watch it with her, and it's good for a laugh every now and then. I mean, you just wonder how folks could be that stupid. Well, the truth is, some are. Anyway, I was watching that, and the MC, whatever his name is, he's always making the cute remarks and so on. He made a statement. He said, whenever this happened, who in the world would have believed we'd have had a woman president? You know what he had done? He had taped that back when everybody was sure Hillary was going to win. And he forgot to cut it out. The tape had been pre-taped. That's the assumption the country had made. Everybody had made it. That's why they're just going nuts still right now. They just can't accept it. So there's a phenomenon there that makes us say, well, I wonder if God had anything to do with it, you know? Now, that's all I'm going to present to you this morning is that he may have. Was it foretold? Now, I'm going to introduce a subject to you. You've heard me mention before, and some of them on radio, I got a nasty letter about a guy telling me I was nuts. That's okay. I'm screwed on the right boat, I'll tell you that. But anyway, you heard me mention before the Bible codes. Now, I'm not by myself in thinking there's something to it. I know everybody that messes with it. Some of it, there's sensationalism and all that may be wrong. But you go back to great scientists like Isaac Newton, and he said there was more than one Bible code, several layers. And some of the great students and scholars of the past believed there was more to the message of the Bible than just the facial reading of it. Especially when it comes to Hebrew, the Jewish language of Hebrew, the Jews believe God spoke the world into existence speaking Hebrew. They believe the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet is of God. And by the way, who can tell me when the alphabet began? Nobody can. Nobody can. There's some things. They can't tell you for sure when mathematics began. You say, I don't care what you heard, they've got no proof where it. And do you know that if you were smart enough in math, and some of the great mathematicians tell you that if you'll carry mathematics far enough, it'll prove the existence of God, that it's mathematical, possible to prove the existence of God. Now, I can't. When you get above fifth grade math, you may be by yourself with me, but I don't really believe, I'm joking. I did really pretty fair in it. But anyway, fifth grade, that is. All right, I'm through joking on that. Anyway. God did name Josiah ahead of time and Cyrus ahead of time and told what they would do. Now, could it be possible, you say, why would God pick a crude, rude, braggadocious man like Donald Trump? I don't know, but that's God's business. He picked Nebuchadnezzar. He picked Cyrus the Great. I better leave it to God what he wants to do. Could it be that he did? I'm going to ask Mike up in the tape room, if he would, to run down the screen behind me. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit, and I'm sorry for you folks in Radio Land. I wish you were here, because I wish you could see the screen. I'm not going to leave it on there very much, but I'm talking to you about Bible codes. Bible codes is done like this. If you're looking at the screen, you see all the background. That background is Hebrew letters. It's scripture out of Isaiah 45, and all they've done is take the air out between the letters, the space out between the letters. So that's called a grid right there. This is the way, and by the way, Jewish rabbis been doing this way back before computers was invented, many hundreds of years. Back in the, we can trace it back 500-600 years after Christ, where the Jewish rabbis was working with Bible codes on their own, keeping it a secret from Gentiles. They still like to keep it a secret from us. But the computer age has made it snowball to where some average folks now can do pretty good on doing the same thing. It's the same plan. Isaac Newton didn't have a computer, but he used it. What you're seeing up there is a grid of Hebrew. And by the way, the same Hebrew that your Old Testament and the King James comes from, the Masoretic text of the Hebrew. Say the Jews believe Hebrew is the language of heaven. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord Jesus spoke to Paul in Hebrew when he converted him on the road to Damascus. So maybe something to that. In the book, in the Jewish teaching, the rabbis have about 32 principles that they use in working with the Torah, the Hebrew. The 29th principle is the principle of Gematria. Gematria, however you want to say it. Now, here's all that means. It means the Hebrew letters are equivalent with a number. Let's say if it was the ABCs, we'd say A is number one, B is number two. So they go through their 22 letters, and each, their first letter, Aleph, A-L-E-P-H, however it's spelled, would be one, and it goes through the 22 letters of the Hebrew. So every letter is a number. Now, in English, we have ABCs, and then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, but in the Hebrew, the letter and the number, that's the way they count their numbers. So what I'm fixing to say to you and what you're looking at up there is simply this. Some of the rabbis have come up with this thing on Trump. Now, they've done run the numbers on it. They say his number is 777. They say that he was inaugurated at 70 years old, 7 months and 7 days, 777. This table you're looking at, they found before he was ever elected. Now you see the word Cyrus there. You got to remember, I read to you a while ago out of Isaiah 45 where God named Cyrus over 200 years before he was born. So right in the grid, right in the area, you got Cyrus, then you got Donald, you got Trump, you got the seventh, you got the United States, and then you got Cheshvan. Now Cheshvan there is the Jewish month equivalent to our month of November. So we got a lot of coincidence falling right here. In the same area that Cyrus was prenamed and mentioned in the book of Ezra and what he would do with the Jews, the word Chevron here is the Hebrew month for our November. The seventh, you see up there, of Chevron, this year, you got to remember there's a day difference. I forget what it is, 8, 10, 12 hours difference makes a day different between Israel and America. So on their Chevron, the seventh, would be our November, the 8th, the day of the election. Probably just all coincidence, but isn't it interesting? Now, if God raised up a man by the name of Cyrus to do a particular thing, has he raised up somebody else to do a particular thing? Could be. Could be. Now, with all the negatives that we could point out, he has stirred up evil. I put it this way, he's pulled the tablecloth off the bugs. He's turned on the light and they're running. It's like he walked into a dirty kitchen and flipped on the lights and the bugs are going everywhere. I said it the other day, it's like draining the swamp and all the slimy creatures are complaining. And there's a whole lot that we're seeing in the news right now. Now, will he succeed? I don't know. I read over in the book of Ezra, after the attacks on Ezra building the temple and the false letters written back and forth to the kings, and finally God prevailing, and I read over there where it says, Ezra fell on his face and began to pray because he looked at the sins of the people that were calling for God's judgment. And he falls on his face. Well, he does some things pretty rough. He pulls his own hair out. He plucks his beard. And then he falls on his face. I can't even read where he calls for an assembly because it's raining that day. And he falls on his face and begins to pray, and the congregation gathers in the rain. Big crowd gathers in the rain as Ezra cries out to God and in repentance and knowing God's judgment is coming. And in that prayer, he makes a statement like this. I would show it to you, but I'm running out of time. He makes a place like this. God, you have given us a little space of grace to repent. Think about that. A little space of grace to repent. Could we, like in the book of Ezra, be getting a little space of grace to repent? Will the nation do it? Well, the mobs in the street won't do it. The gays and the perverts and the sympathizers with them are doing just what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're coming after the good guys. They're on the attack. So what I'm saying to you this morning is worthy of our prayers. We're told to pray for our leaders. Could God use a man who gets his Sunday school lesson backwards, whose vocabulary we would not approve, even though it seems to have improved of late, I hope. But I don't think we would have thought that Nebuchadnezzar or even Cyrus was a fundamental independent Baptist. But God used them and put them in power. So we can take God's admonition and pray for the man he's put there, hoping that God put him there. I'll tell you this, he's on the right side of some issues that the wrong side has been against for a long time. And the perverted side that we're talking about. I may continue this a little bit later, another lesson or two, I don't know. If you got it all, I won't need to repeat some of it, amen. All right, Brother Baker wanted to give me the attendance this morning. I'm kind of scared to read it. When we have a big day, we start going the other direction for some reason. 985, we still under that.